Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason, good morning. How's everything?
Good morning, guys. Going great. Going great.
Okay, we watched this game last night, Ottawa Senators, and what jumps out at me is Jake Guentzel. And how does a player, and this is a question that maybe we're asking you to ask other people or maybe your expertise on it, how does a player learn how to not make the lows as low, and you want to keep the highs as high, but to keep an even keel? Because Jake Guentzel, is the kind of guy that the lows are too low right now, the highs are great. Do you learn that in time, do you think, to keep that even keel, to not have the bad games be as bad?
Yeah, I think it's perspective. And I think, you know, some of it is work ethic, but I don't think I'm not saying that to say that Jake Guentzel's work ethic is a problem. It's just about bringing the same effort every single night. You know, I can relate it to our jobs. I mean, I would say that the perspective that you have, Colin, on your job, or that I would say I have on mine, isn't the same that I had 8 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is. And, you know, you learn how to sort of stay even keel, not freak out over something, keep your confidence high, let things roll off your back. And I think Guentzel is sort of learning that. I also think there's some, a more hockey-centric angle here, in that Guentzel should be shooting more, going to the net more, simplifying his game a little bit, which he did last night and wasn't doing as much when he was sort of in a slump. I just think in sports in general, too, you can sort of overcomplicate things, and I think Guentzel was probably doing that a little bit.
And competition's great, and Sullivan, I'm sure, loves that, and these kids are young enough to where he can still use fear as motivation and things of that nature. But when Hornquist and Kunok will come back, who's not dressing?
Yeah, that's a great question right now, Josh. You know, first out for me would be Carter Rowney, and then you would sort of adjust your lineup. I'm not taking Aston Reese out. I mean, you know, I'm not going to take Aston Reese out and scratch Patrick Hornquist, but I feel like there's a weak link there at this point. And I'm not even sure Carter Rowney's healthy, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure why we're pushing it here in February, but he would be the first out of the lineup. And then, you know, I'd probably go Aston Reese. I mean, I've liked what he's brought, but it'll be an interesting competition between him and Kuhn-Hackl for that second spot. But I think Kuhn-Hackl brings more in the way of penalty killing. Has been around a little bit. And I think, too, it'll be interesting to see where Aston Reese goes. I mean, his ice time has kind of climbed each one of these games, which is, I don't know, somewhat rare for a rookie to be playing 14 minutes a night who's not Jake Guentzel. But there is sort of a tail-off period with these guys. We saw it with Daniel Sprong. And, you know, if Aston Reese can continue this, I think it's going to change the discussion. I guess I'm just sort of expecting at some point for him to go down the mountain a little bit, the opposite of how he's gone up it.
Well, he ended up on Sid's line, so I don't know how long that's going to last. But a weird thing about last night's game, Jason, is that, okay, the Penguins are ahead 4-2 after two periods, but I was trying to envision Mike Sullivan actually, I don't think he does this that often, you might know better than I do, like actually reading them the riot act between periods, because they're ahead 4-2, but they weren't playing all that well. It was very strange. And then then the third period, although they didn't score that many goals until the empty netter, they really did play a lot better.
Is there really a riot act? Like, I've heard that cliche. Is there some actual riot act that you can read?
Well, you know what?
Wouldn't that be a weird act?
I think we'd have to ask people in Philadelphia. Maybe they would know better than we would. There was a riot act.
No, but I don't think Sullivan was the least bit happy, Jim.
No.
And I don't think it would be, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I've heard stories about Sullivan coming in there and just losing his mind on players between periods, and it has nothing to do with the score. He's talked repeatedly about, you know, play the game, not the score or whatever, and to me that was a perfect indication of that. And probably if they didn't change things up after the second period, which, you know, to their credit, they did, I think they fall behind. Maybe that thing changes drastically. I mean, they weren't great in the first two periods, and to a man, they admitted it. But yeah, I think Sullivan gave it to him pretty hard. You could tell just in his post game demeanor when talking about their play after the first two periods, he held nothing back. He was not happy.
Fan Hotline brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Joined by Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post Gazette. The Riot Act was an act of Parliament of Great Britain that authorized local authorities to declare any group of 12 or more people to be unlawfully assembled and thus have to disperse or face punitive action.
That's 20 guys,
by the way. So the Riot Act could be read in this case. Jason Mackey, does Jim Rutherford have it in him to let the trade deadline come and go and do nothing?
Yeah, I think he has it in him. I don't think he's going to do it. I think we can safely shove the third line center talk to the side here. Riley Sheahan's just been very, very good and looks like a totally different player than a month ago. But I still think Jim will do something. I don't think they're getting enough offense at this point out of their fourth line. That's how it was posed to me, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. You know, we're probably not going to do anything with our third line, but the fourth line is something we're going to look to upgrade. And based on their assets cap situation, what a fourth line center would cost versus a third line center, that's a much more affordable deal. I mean, there's a couple ways of getting that done, but I don't think it's going to be all that difficult to get a fourth line guy. At this point, I don't really see them adding on defense. You've got a 7 and 8 in Hunwick and Ruedel who are pretty good players. You could probably even try to trade one of them to get your fourth line center if you had to. And at this point, as far as them approaching the deadline, I don't think Jim will stand pat, not because, you know, like he wants to or whatever, but I just think he will do something because there's a need to upgrade the fourth line center position here.
And the NHL will give you a list of reasons why it's not worth these guys playing in the Olympics, but with Kessel and the coaching staff and maybe Gino and Crosby, are guys upset that they're missing an opportunity that you're sensing?
They are. Absolutely. Absolutely. They want to play. They want to play. Sullivan would have absolutely been involved in the USA hockey effort in some form or fashion. And I don't know where you guys stand on this, but I'm very pro NHL players going to the Olympics. I don't think that it's the type of thing where you send those guys over there and instantly, like, South Korean people just think, oh, my goodness, hockey, I have to flock to this. You know, it's not like that. But if your entire constituency of players wants to do something, if all of your fans who pump money in the league want that to happen, why are you not doing it? You know, give people what they want. Give your people what they want. And so, yeah, Sid wants to play. Kessel would want to play. Hopefully USA Hockey would actually have him this time. There are other guys that would have gotten a chance. Patrick Hornquist, Carl Hagelin, even Dominic Simone for the Czech Republic. But guys want to go, and it would have been entertaining. It's just, I hate it, man. I can't get into Olympic hockey because it's a bunch of minor leaguers, and I guess is the spirit of the thing. But it's just, it could be so good, and it's not.
Yeah, maybe Teddy Bluger wouldn't be a healthy scratch for Latvia.
Didn't call minor leaguers in Lake Placid, Jim.
Yeah. Speaking of Phil Kessel, and you're right about that, USA Hockey probably would have, you know, somehow left him off again. But I don't know what kind of chatter there was in the press box when all of a sudden Dion Phaneuf had disappeared for no particular reason. But you hear Kessel was on the but Bob Airy is on TV down between the benches, and Kessel actually broke the news that Phaneuf had been traded. I can just picture, did Phaneuf send Phil a text in between periods to, like, hey, I've been traded? That was fascinating to me.
That was, and I saw exactly what you're talking about, Jim. I'm watching from the press box, and Kessel's, like, leaned over the boards talking to Airy, and, you know, I've seen Phil sometimes, like, look at Airy's monitor to, like, see something, to, like, look at a replay. But he was very clearly, like, gesturing to Airy and telling him something. Yeah, I don't – what is – like, did Phaneuf walk past the Penguins' room?
I don't know. That's what
I
was thinking.
I didn't get the story out of that one, but I did hear that he told him, and that was so weird, man. Those in-game trades, I think they're a little bit more common in other sports, but definitely in hockey, it does not happen very often at all.
Yeah, baseball hug watch at the deadline, of course.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Can I revisit something from the off season
that I don't think do whatever you want, call it, it's your show.
No, it's our show, but I don't think it's been revisited enough. The world was going to end when Rick Tocchet left town because Phil Kessel was going to forget how to communicate and play hockey. Why did that become a big story and everybody's forgot about it now? And how have they been able to keep Phil Kessel, so to speak, between the fences this year without Rick Tocchet here?
You know what, man? That is a great point. That is a really great point and observation. Maybe Phil Kessel was capable of functioning on his own without Rick Tocchet. And I think it's interesting that you bring that up too, Colin. I was watching Phil Kessel a lot last night. Like, I wasn't writing on deadlines. I could kind of watch different things. I didn't have to follow the puck the whole time. And it was so neat to watch Kessel back check, playing defense, doing things away from the puck. Like, he is just totally different. And we all made this big thing, and I don't know why it was such an issue in the offseason. I really don't. Maybe it was, like, the only story going at the time or something. I don't know. But he's become a better player without Rick Tocchet. Forget, like, him surviving and them getting by without Tocchet. Kessel has actually improved. He's become a two-way, legitimately complete player. I give a lot of credit to Mike Sullivan. I really do think Sullivan has worn this one more than anybody else. He had lunch with Kessel in Toronto over the summer, made a big deal of that. But his communication and where he sort of met Phil halfway on what Phil likes to do and what Sullivan wants, it's been so impressive.
If Rutherford doesn't do anything, is that a missed opportunity?
Yeah, I think it is. Just because I don't think, you know, it's not a huge one, Josh, but I mean, right now their fourth line just isn't made to score a lot of goals. Like, if you're going to trot out Tom Kuhnhackl, Carter Rowney, and Ryan Reeves, those guys just aren't going to score. And I don't know if they can afford to have that fourth line that doesn't score. And I also, it's not a huge concern, but just some sort of, you know, some guy with some mileage on him in the playoffs. I don't think you should discount having that. I think back to that game in Ottawa where Matt Cullen said we played like bleep. You know, you need some guy, some older guy, to just sit there and be ready to say something like that. I think that carries weight with guys. So, I think it'll be Cullen personally, but even if it's not Cullen, I think they need somebody of that ilk to step into that fourth-line center role and just give them a little bit of an offensive boost and a little bit of experience in the room.
Jason, if there's a trickle-down, though, that, you know, all of a sudden if a guy like Brian Rush shows up on a fourth line, we actually saw Gensel get demoted to a fourth line. So when Hornquist and Kuhnhackl come back, you can't help but have somebody that can score some goals on that line. And speaking of which, the Senators have some guys that I kind of like as, you know, guys that you could bring in. And if they're going to be sellers, and I know maybe the Penguins aren't necessarily in the market for a winger, but Derek Brassard, you know, at the very least, he wouldn't be scoring goals against Pittsburgh anymore. And even and Pageau is a nice, quick, fourth-line center type guy.
Oh, I agree with you, Jim. I love it. I think Pageau would be a great fit. He probably profiles more as a third-line guy, but regardless, I love his game. I think, you know, his defense and speed and youth and club control and all that stuff is great. But, I mean, I believe he makes $3.1 million. I mean, the Penguins would have to clear out some money to do it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I don't think, you know, I mean, at this point, maybe you guys disagree. I'm not trading Carl Hagelin. He's too valuable right now, whatever form he's found since Christmas or the new year or whatever it is. I mean, he's been terrific. So at this point, who are you going to trade? Connor Sherry? I wouldn't trade Ian Cole for the same reason I wouldn't trade Hagelin. You look at what, Sherry, Hunwick? I don't see opposing GMs lining up to get those guys. I just think, you know, I like Brassard too. I like Hoffman, Pageau. I mean, we can go down the list of names that might fit, but I don't think the Penguins have, you know, would be willing to part with the assets to get it done and to make the math work.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thanks, Jason. We'll chat soon, Cupid.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye now.
I love him. Jason Mackey, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's good. He's
I
good.
Bet
he's
he got
nice
the
job.
Misses. I bet they're going to do a kind of one of those lobster boils or something. Although he loves animals too much. I bet he wouldn't. Maybe they'll do a fake lobster.
Well, you've got to eat some vegan animal.
He may be a vegan.
Oh.
He's right on the fence. He could be.
That'd be disappointing.
He was at the 4th of July party. But I didn't watch him eat, so I can't comment on that.
Huh.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.